Awesome. There we go. Now it is recording. Yeah.
Okay. Now it's recording.
Yeah. I mean, we've already got almost 4 minutes of a podcast. We just need an hour, right?
Yeah.
That's another thing. How long do we want to do this for?
I think we decided 45 minutes.
Okay.
Because 30 minutes is too short, but an hour is like sometimes maybe too long.
Okay.
But I think if we say we aim for 45 and then sometimes we go to an hour. All right. I guess that's a...
Do you want to introduce...
Yeah, well, we should introduce our... We should start the podcast.
Oh, okay. All right. And... Welcome to Natural Disasters. I am your host, Marissa.
And I'm Adam.
Yeah, and you might know us from the internet and other things. We also do t-shirts together and stuff. But
my face is on a book.
Her face is on a book, a very good book, which everybody should buy.
Adam actually read it. It was the first one to...
I did. I read it on an airplane to Mexico.
He was the first person to read it. Thanks, Adam.
You're welcome.
I had to make sure that at least one sommelier didn't want to murder me.
And we are doing a podcast now because people wanted it and people are asking for it, but also we're narcissists.
Also, we're just, well, I was going to say givers.
Oh, givers. That's the right word.
But
that's
yes,
the right
we
word.
We are also narcissists. We're very giving narcissists.
Yeah.
Is what we are.
Yeah. And we just, you know, we have our personalities and our thoughts and our ideas and people
those
seem
are
to
things we have.
Enjoy them. Right. And
I hope. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I guess we will find out. Hi, Mom. You're probably the only person listening.
One time my mom was like, she sent me a text and she was like, she went on like a Periscope when Periscope was still a thing. And she was like, hey, sweetie, just want to let you know I'm really happy that me and 9 other people are your fans. And I was like, fuck you. I have more than 9 fans.
Anyway.
This is a lot.
Yeah, so...
Kanye.
I was going to say, we're going to do a podcast, we're going to drink wine, we're going to have people on, and we're just going to have fun.
And this one is just like a first run through of us just having a good time.
Yeah, and Kanye, I want to talk about it, but I don't want to talk about it. Like, I want to like really get my thoughts together. Do you have strong thoughts yet on this whole thing?
I know that my spirit is broken.
Don't you feel like...
I don't know.
Don't you feel like Kanye is not going to let us down? I don't know.
I don't know. Because also this Kanye thing it's shown that there is a divide between those of us that believe Kanye is like a mastermind, genius, cultural leader, God, / people that think that he's just like a fucking Kardashian.
Yeah.
And some people are like, why are you surprised? And I'm like, how often does your God betray you? Because...
I mean, doesn't God betray... I don't know enough
God,
about...
I don't know anything
constantly?
About...
Isn't, like, God testing you constantly?
I don't know, because I don't believe in God.
No, but, like, biblically speaking, I don't know either. This is...
This is bad.
Podcast. We're talking about parents and
God. We need
God.
To stop. Wait, no. We're starting over. Okay,
right,
cut.
And
take one. Done.
Welcome
Wait, hold on. Take two.
Welcome to Natural Disasters. I'm your host, Marissa.
And I'm Adam.
And we're not going to talk about our parents or God.
Or Hitler.
Or Hitler. So we're drinking wine right now because that's what we do. It is nighttime. It is not during the day by any means.
It's definitely 3:30 in the afternoon.
It is. But we are drinking. That's what you do when you hang out with...
Me.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Like, I'm going down a... When you hang out with Marissa, it's fun, you know, but Marissa doesn't just drink. I don't think I drink either.
I drink.
No, we talk about it. We think about it. I'd say when we drink, it's not like, oh, let's get drunk. In fact, rarely do we get
drunk. We don't really get drunk.
Together often. It's more like...
Are we capable of getting drunk anymore, though?
That is a different...
that's a different podcast.
Yeah, but I'd say that like it rarely is it let's get wasted. It's like let's drink things... And talk about
them.
I mean, we opened a bottle of wine that I won't mention that neither of us were too thrilled on. And instead of drinking it, which I know a lot of people do, we opened another bottle of wine because...
It's also our privilege talking.
That is true. But, man, it is our privilege talking. I was just implying that it meant that we don't drink just to get drunk.
I do. I'm just kidding.
Because I do know people that would be like, oh, fuck it. Let's drink that whole bottle anyway.
The wine wasn't terrible. It just wasn't up to our standards, which are high.
And this one is.
And this one's great. So good luck to the winemaker that I the other one. I think that they have a bright future ahead of them, but that vintage sucked balls. Anyways, we instead, I opened up Martha Stauman's Post Flirtation, which is a Carignan and Zinfandel blend from, or actually, excuse me, Zinfandel and Carignan blend, because Zinfandel is 55% and Carignan is 45%, and it is from California.
And it's delicious.
It's fucking delicious, man. It had a little bit of VA at the top, but now it's really well integrated. There's like this, there's at the farmer's market down the street from my house, which, man, I sound so shitty.
that's your privilege talking.
I know, that's my privilege talking. Also my privilege talking, I bought strawberry balsamic vinegar. They like totally sold me on it.
Yeah, was it
and
good?
Oh my God, it's fucking incredible. You put it on vanilla ice cream. You're set to go.
Yeah. Do you add strawberries too? Because yeah. Like strawberries, vanilla ice cream, and balsamic is a thing, but the strawberry balsamic.
Yeah, it's so good. But this is this wine reminds me of that strawberry balsamic, but with like heavier, like with more like brambly raspberry
totally.
Notes, and with some like really nice, herbaceous qualities.
It's really good. So now, I guess what do we...
it's so fucking good.
Now what do we do?
Well, now we talk about the wine for a little bit. So Martha Stauman, a little background on Martha Stauman. She's a badass female winemaker from California. She came out of a co-op, I believe. She came out of the same co-op as like Leloon and... all those.
I know she's working with Chad Hines now, right?
And Noel. Maybe we don't need to go into how. I don't really know that much about her. I don't know why I'm acting like we. But in the future.
So Martha and I go way back. We went to high school. No, I don't know anything.
Yeah,
actually,
yeah, yeah.
I'm the worst.
Wait, let's start again. We'll not start the whole thing.
All
again.
This thing can we can I can cut out a lot of things.
Yeah. So Martha Stauman is a winemaker here in California, a natural winemaker. Who's just doing really, really cool, badass stuff. I really love her wines, and they're extremely, like, reliable. Like, there's a lot of natural wines out there that aren't that stable. And I think that it's actually really hard to do natural wine in California because of all the issues with, like, our property bullshit. Like, no one can afford the land and yada, yada, yada. And it's also so fucking hot.
A big discussion that I shouldn't say is, like, a new one. I don't think it's new. But a big discussion that is going around right now is the... sort of trying to get real honesty out of farmers. I'm not saying farmers are liars.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that because there are so many people right now who are trying to make wine, and there's sort of this push to make natural wine, that a lot of there are farmers who are maybe not being honest about certain practices that are happening in vineyards.
Totally, because they want to make money.
And so I think that's also been a big problem with the natural wine movement in California, is you have people who think, I was guilty of it myself, talking to a farmer and them going, sustainable, and me being naive enough to believe that that meant
sustainable is like
things.
Sustainable is such a loaded word.
It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
And
it could just mean that they're just saving water. They're
exactly,
like, oh, we don't flush every other time. Like, we're sustainable. We're saving water.
Yeah, we. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down.
Yeah.
Sustainable. But
I'm also very sustainable.
And then you talk to somebody like, oh, no, they spray Roundup at that vineyard. You're like, what? I got off the phone with them and they said they were sustainable. And I asked if they were, you know, what they were doing. And they're like, oh, we don't spray and we don't do this. But they don't get into detail about what they're doing.
They're like, no, we don't spray it. We actually just inject it right into
or
the
veins.
Or
they say things like, we only spray when we feel it's necessary. We don't get certified because we want to save
that. But we decided it's necessary every
all,
week.
Exactly. All the time. Constantly. So it's... when you know that's
so
a
it's a hard so natural wine in California is hard in general.
Yeah.
And I also think that like natural wine to make good natural wine is hard. It's not easy. Like it's not a fucking crock pot. I think that there's a huge misconception that you just like, well, I pick the grapes, I crush them, and then I put them in a steel vat, and now it's wine.
I mean, we've all, or you and I have definitely tasted those wines and been like, whoa.
Yeah, those are shit wines.
Yeah,
too. But I think something. You know, this is our first little podcast. And,
yeah.
You know, we're going to have guests and we're going to be talking about wine and talking about ourselves because we are narcissists talking about how to make natural wine better.
Yeah. And also, I think we're not, you know, Marissa and I are multidimensional people. So it's not just going to be wine. hopefully, but you never know.
We have opinions.
So welcome to our,
this is just like the rough, this is like the, this is like the dress rehearsal.
I think it's really, I don't know. I think very highly of everything I do. So I think
I feel like this is already great.
Yeah. I think people are going to want to listen to this.
I think we're going to have to cut this part out. But.
No. And we have about half an hour left to go.
Well, we haven't even started talking about, today's topics.
Which is,
okay. So first of all, yes, welcome to our podcast. We're going to be having guests. We're going to be talking about wine. We're going to be letting you know what kinds of wines we're going to be drinking beforehand so you can join in on the fun. So it won't just be us drinking Martha Stallman's post-flirtation, Carignan and Zinfandel.
2017.
Also, it'll give you an opportunity to also have some California wine while listening. So that'll be great. And we can all get drunk together. Just kidding. I mean, just like have fun and talk about wine. And just be discussing wine. Obviously, both of us are natural wine enthusiasts, and we want to make sure that the natural wine world is sustainable beyond just toilet flushing.
Yeah.
And make sure that this goes further. So we hope to educate you guys and have some fun.
And I don't know if anyone's looked. Like, I'm an avid podcast listener, and that's sort of where the idea to do a podcast came from. And I was, like, just as a fan trying to find a podcast that talked to people who liked natural wine. And you know, there's a lot or a handful of wine podcasts out there, and they do their job very well. They're not like awful, but they just, you know, they don't speak to certain people, and I'm one of those
people. They don't speak to us, and me and Adam are always thinking about
us.
Me and Adam.
Yeah, so I was just, you know, why don't we fill that space? And I'm sure that there will
be. Yeah, why don't we fill that space?
Yeah.
Just fill the space.
The space needs to be filled.
You know, we saw a space. that no one had ever done anything with, and we were like, ooh, let's put our dicks in there.
So we invented podcasts.
We invented podcasts.
Oh, you were going with a sexual innuendo.
No, it's fine. We invented podcasting. We also invented hiking.
Yeah, and we're going to actually do a lot of podcast hikes. We're going to podcast and hike together.
Yes.
That's going to be a lot. We're going to do it a lot. Actually, we're doing it right now. Wow, Runyon is so nice this time
of day. Oh, my God. I can't believe how no one is here.
Oh, my
Whoa.
God. Oh, wait, no, look over there. It's the game, and it's a Kardashian.
Oh, my God. Oh. They're making out. They're having a baby right now.
Oh, my God. Let's take a selfie.
A Jenner is born. On the top of Runyon Mountain.
Anyway, no. So I understand why Kanye would post this shit because I get watching. I understand watching people lose their shit about stuff, and there's something really entertaining about it.
I know. I love that you have like the. I love that you have like the core, like the sinew, the strength inside you to like. Take that shit.
It's like getting high. It's fucking amazing. Knowing that you can like sort of get a reaction from people.
We should totally put the Hitler stuff back in.
So I get it. So, but it is unfortunate that he chose such a, I mean, really, Donald Trump is the most controversial person
even,
in the world
but,
right now.
Yeah, but also we don't know if he's being serious or not.
Well, There are claims that a lot of people are saying, which is like, wait for the album.
I know, but...
Which means either A, this is marketing, which
it
I
is.
Can't
no,
get
it's,
mad at.
No,
I can't
no, no,
get
it's marketing
him.
No matter what.
Then you can't get mad at him, right? Because he's got...
Yes, you can, because I think that you have to, like, you have to hold cultural leaders accountable, and like the fact that he's promoting someone that actively promotes hatred.
I know, that's so
and,
hard.
No,
it's
so like,
hard.
I'm so, well, no, you know what? If this was... If Obama was still president and Kanye West was like hanging out with Donald Trump while Donald Trump is talking like all sorts of horrible sexist racist fucking bullshit, that would be different. But because he's not the president of the United States, but like Kanye,
right? He is a citizen of America and he represents. So by him aligning himself with Trump, he's aligning
even
himself.
Even if it's for marketing, it's like we're just living in a time where like that's not okay. We're living in a time where like even though I was a comedian, I'm not that good at taking jokes about like my body anymore or things like that. Like we're just not living.
Or it's like if he was like, you know, I don't want to go crazy. All I'm saying is Harvey Weinstein had some good ideas.
Yeah. Oh, he put out some good movies, man. Love his work ethic.
But what is that? What happens with the canon? Like, or what happens with people? So you have Bill Cosby, who just got sentenced, like, awesomely and amazingly.
Did he get sentenced?
Oh, yeah. He's going to jail. He's going to be in jail for the rest of his life.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's so sad for so many people, but I'm so happy.
So what happens to the Cosby Show? I know this is a conversation a lot of people have had.
Well, this is hard. This is hard. Like, it's like sort of like, I can't watch Woody Allen movies anymore. And Woody Allen was like, what made me want to do movies?
Yeah.
And like,
what happens?
But can you separate art from, I don't know.
I don't know. So that
I just don't think, I don't think in this particular time where we are living in such a divided nation.
It's a risk. It's a big risk.
It's not just a risk, dude. I think it's irresponsible. Like, I think it's irresponsible for Kanye to be aligning himself, whether it's for marketing or whatever the fuck, with Donald Trump, because it's just setting a bad example and it's promoting hatred in a time that like is so fueled.
Yeah, my biggest problem with it, honestly, is that it fuels all of the people on the alt-right and it proves their point in
exactly.
some weird way. And he then, but I can't, he's a black man. As a white man, I don't really feel comfortable making comments about his own choices and his decisions, but it does seem very, you know, they've been using like the sunken place and the, what is it, Get Out, sort of a lot of references to, even he referenced it. And it's, there is an aspect of it that does feel very, it's I named my son after the man.
I know.
And that's tough. Like, he's still really, that's what I'm saying. So, like, in the, like, he's still really important. And, like,
he's extremely important, but that's why it's, like, it's not acceptable. But that's why it's not acceptable for him to be doing this, is someone that is a leader.
You better not rape and murder anybody, Kanye West.
If, like, you rape or murder anybody except me, you can rape and murder me all you want.
I'm going to have to change my son's name. Or I guess we could just say that his name is West because we're from the West Coast.
Yeah. Or, like, North by Northwest. Oh wait,
that's his. We trying to explain to our grandparents why we named our kid after Kanye West was uncomfortable to say the least.
Well, it was. Explain your child's full name.
So his first name is after an artist that my wife and I, my wife specifically, but both of us are really big fans of. Who is a gay artist? His name is Cy Twombly.
And yes, very, very famous, talented.
Very famous, very talented. And then I realize I'm giving my son's full name out on the internet now, but he has his own Instagram. So if you want to follow him at Cy West Vorvulis on Instagram.
Is it Vorvulis?
Vorvulis.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, have you been saying it wrong?
I always say Vorvulis.
No, nah, it's fine. I don't care. It doesn't bother me.
It's like when people call me Melissa. It's like, whatever.
Melissa Rass?
Melissa Rass?
Melissa Rass. And then,
that's my really annoying alter ego.
But that was my wife's decision. She was like, I want to name him after Cy, Twombly, who's my favorite artist. I was like, jokingly, I said, if we name his first name after your favorite artist, can his middle name be after my favorite artist? And my wife was like, I think West is a perfect name.
I think it's a great name.
And I was like, fuck.
It's a really strong name, even if Kanye does rape and murder me.
Fuck. Or is actually MAGA.
I
mean, he wears the hat. Like, that is,
I know that
we call that the modern swastika, right?
I know. That's some fucked up shit, man.
But is he, I was just going to say, can he wear a swastika?
I don't think he could wear a swastika.
If he wore an armband, like a swastika armband?
Actually, I think that there would be a lot of people to be like, yeah, I can start wearing my swastikas now too.
His new fan base. He did wear a Confederate flag for a little while.
I know
on
he
a
did.
Bunch
it
of clothing.
It was his,
It was merch.
I think his merch
for Yeezus.
Yeah, and I think his merch for this time, I heard, is actually going to be tiki torches.
That's very funny. White polos.
Yeah, white, like
khaki pants.
Yeah, if you go to the merch table at the next Kanye concert, it's going to be all Kanye West branded tiki torches and white polos and just some like general white man face masks. It's going to be
fuck.
So this wine is awesome. I really love it. It's a stable, beautiful.
It's a stable genius.
It's a stable genius. The exact opposite of Kanye right now.
Yeah.
Unstable. Well, I guess not the exact opposite. It's just like, whatever. Well, I'm going to back that up. So this Martha Stallman wine, the post-flirtation, I really enjoy this wine. It's a really stable, natural wine that I think you can serve to anyone, which is really, really important. The way to make natural wine sustainable beyond letting it mellow.
Speaking of which, I don't want to, weren't you, I'm not going to say the place, but weren't you in the last, weren't you in the last, let's say, month at a possible bar restaurant and there was not stable wines?
Yes. So what I was going to say, I love this wine. It's super stable. And that's really important with natural wine because there's a problem in the natural wine world right now. There's a lot of wines that should not be poured by the glass, that are not meant to be open and sitting out and being served to people. And I think that it's doing a huge disservice to natural wine, not only to the winemakers, but also to the consumers and the entire, you know, industry. Like, it's bad for everybody.
It's hard to defend something and then have somebody go and be like, okay, fine, I'm going to try it. And then they go and try it and they're like, you're an idiot. I can't believe you defend this thing.
A lot of people don't think about how important it is for these wines to be reliable and stable in order for natural wine to be sustainable beyond just like not flushing the toilet every once in a while.
You feel like this wine you could... We've poured two glasses maybe, and maybe when Ben comes home late at night, you could pour again and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, I feel like, yes, I think that I wouldn't have to worry about it. And, Ben just texted me, let me know when you're home. I'm here doing a podcast. I'm here. He doesn't even know what to know. He knows. He saw the story. So with a wine like this, this is a wine that, yes, multiple glasses can be poured out of it. It can be open for a while. But there's a lot of natural wines that are not... cannot be open for a long period of time.
Yeah.
But the real issue here is that there are a lot of bars and restaurants that are serving these wines by the glass, and they're serving very unstable natural wines by the glass that is, one, you know, just not good for the wine, and two, they're serving it to people that don't know better. So they're promoting the quote-unquote natural wines that are like funky and weird and crazy, but really they're just fucked up. And so then you're creating this entire economy of consumers that believe that every glass of natural, quote unquote, natural wine should taste like a vinegar bomb or should taste like fucking shit.
So I never thought of that before.
Like,
does that mean that when they taste a quote unquote clean natural wine, they think that it's not natural?
Probably.
By default?
Probably.
I never thought of that problem before. That like,
because it's creating, the problem is it's creating, it's creating a world where flaws are flavors.
Yeah, it's like if every time I made out with somebody, they slap me in the face. And then like the day that somebody doesn't slap me in the face, I'm like, well, you don't know how to make out or whatever.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You didn't hit me in the fucking face.
Yeah. So I'm saying like, do you think that when people continue, like who are new to it and their only exposure is really fucked up wines, when they drink a natural wine that isn't really fucked up? Because I know for me, I discovered natural wine after already discovering conventional wine.
Yeah.
And so it was a transition from conventional to natural. And so I can understand and sort of see through all those things just
totally.
Because I have that background. You as well.
Absolutely.
So people are, when they're zero is super fucked up, that means anything that doesn't have fucked up, they automatically think is conventional.
Maybe.
When that's not like, would someone drink this and think that it's conventional?
I don't know.
Is that possibility exist?
I don't know if they would drink this and think it's conventional only because it has such high acidity. And I think it still is like very natural tasting. But what bothers me or what makes me nervous is that, and it's not the consumer's fault, because if you think about it, these are people that have been drinking conventional wines for years, and then they taste something new and it's exciting. And it's
that's
like,
why you can't see air quotes, orange wine has
skin contact
has gotten so much press because it's something that like
no one has experienced.
Right.
So, and it's the same thing with these flaws, which like flaws, like there's a certain amount of a flaw that's fine. Like this wine that we're drinking right now has some VA in it, but I think that the VA is actually really complimentary and is what's making it very strawberry balsamic and really, really delicious. But, you know, I was somewhere last night where I had to send back three glasses of wine because they tasted only like vinegar. They tasted only like burnt matches. They were faulty. And I'm looking around this bar and my friend, she came up to me and she goes, hey, she's a food person and doesn't know a ton about wine, but she goes, hey, am I crazy or is this like, I don't like this. I think there's something wrong with this or do I just not know about wine?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you should trust yourself. Also give me the glass. And I was like, oh no, this is fucking trash.
That's like, so weird too, because I feel like natural wine, sorry to interrupt.
No, go.
Should be the opposite. Like people who are discovering natural wine shouldn't feel like they're not smart enough to get wine. Like, it should be...
But this is the problem, though, is because if they're thinking... If they think that natural
that's
wine...
That's like old wine way of thinking. Like, I'm not smart enough to understand this Burgundy.
But that's all wine thinking because it's been all about gatekeeping.
Yeah, exactly. And that's so, like... Nobody wants that.
I know, but that still exists. That still exists. You can't, like, say that that doesn't exist. Like, that exists in our world, too.
I think natural wine is getting worse and worse. Getting worse than...
I don't think it's ever going to be worse than the 90s, but, you know, when I was 8, and I was like, oh, these old men, they're holding me back.
My fucking allocations to Opus 1.
No, but I mean, but it's creating a world where, like, people are thinking to themselves... Wait, I don't like this, but isn't this supposed to be funky? Like, am I the wrong?
Right, right, right.
Like, am I wrong? Like, natural wine's supposed to be quote unquote funky. And then I told her, I was like, go send it. I was like, send it back. Send it back. So she went to send it back, and the person that then reported her, I was like, make them open a new bottle. That bottle's probably been open for God knows how long. Yeah. That wine is unstable. Ask them to open up a new bottle and just don't worry about it. Because she was like, well, what do I say? And I was like, you say that it's fucking VA ridden and disgusting and you want a new glass.
Yeah.
She probably didn't use those words. But she came back.
Actually, I saw her. She threw it in his face.
She was like, ah, how dare you serve me this VA ridden trash?
Yeah. She actually took a sip and spit it.
Spit it right in his face.
Yeah.
No, but then she came back and she goes, wow, that was so embarrassing. And I was like, what do you mean? Like that?
Did he correct her?
No, they said, this person said to her, well, you know, it's supposed to be on the wild side. I guess it's not for everyone. And that is just horrible because then that is still promoting flaws as flavors and calling like it's fine. Like, I don't think it's wrong to like... To enjoy a wine with
some
VA.
Wasn't that what Bill Cosby said today when he was convicted?
I love VA.
No, I guess it's a little bit on the wild side. Not for everybody.
Not for everybody. That espresso's only for a few people.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, but that's only... But then that person is like shaming this newcomer to wine.
Right, and now you're essentially scaring away a newbie.
Yeah.
Who is going to go and... Progress back to
instead of like being like okay yeah maybe that isn't like maybe there yeah, is too much
instead
beer.
Of being like cool I'm sorry this wasn't for you let's find something new it's now this person's scared of even it's like going into the record store. Do you remember when you were a kid and you went to the record store and like you discovered something and then like from that discovery maybe you like were like oh my god maybe I love Bananarama or whatever and then like you go into the record store and you're like excuse me do you have Bananarama and they're like
what?
And you feel shame for what you're asking for, but you're 9 years old. You're asking for MC Hammer or whatever it is. Like, I don't need to feel shame. I'm discovering.
Someone shamed you about Bananarama at 9 years old?
No.
Oh, I was like, wow.
MC Hammer. I used Bananarama because it was the first thing that came to my head. But
I'm sorry you got shamed about MC Hammer. That's wrong.
I wanted to hammer time.
I don't blame you. Who doesn't want to hammer time?
I was way too legit to quit.
I'm still
so I still got it.
We're still too legit to quit.
But it's sort of like I know the record store analogy is so overused, but
it's so
why
true.
Do you need to scare away people?
Well, it's gatekeeping. It's a way to as someone that used to be a huge snob about the Beatles until I did acid and John Lennon came to me and told me I was a fucking asshole, an original asshole that needed to live by my own words and not his. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy.
That's powerful.
Dude, it fucking changed my life.
Yeah.
No, but it's someone that was like so obsessed with the Beatles that like from the time I was like 10 to 20 something years old.
Do you think John Lennon would have MAGA'd?
No, he wouldn't have.
He was pretty conservative, wasn't he? Secretly? Or is that?
No.
I feel like.
No, I don't think so. John Lennon is like one of my gods. I don't think he would ever MAGA. I think he would fucking fight that shit to the death.
Do you think him and Kanye would have been friends?
Yes.
They're
soul buds, dude.
Yeah, for sure, right?
Yeah, I mean, they are in my heart. I mean, like, I mean, when I, my gods are Hunter S. Thompson, John Lennon, Kanye West.
Rick Sanchez.
I put him last because he's a cartoon. But anyways, we're getting off point. The point is that like, one, something needs, the only way to make natural wine a sustainable thing that is not a trend is by respecting the wine itself and then also respecting the consumer and educating them and also proving that we're not just giving away shitty wine to people that don't understand it, you know?
Save the shitty wine for people like me who enjoy it. Like, I...
No, but we don't even drink shitty wine. We just didn't... Like, we opened a bottle that we didn't drink.
No, but I know. God.
No, our responsibility is... I believe is my responsibility in the natural wine world is to promote really great winemakers.
See, I was going to say, I'm a big believer in promoting the person behind the wine.
Exactly. No, in promoting great wines, promoting great, great philosophy, great technique. And you know what? There are so many people that are doing really, really wonderful work, and it's very hard to make really good natural wine.
Yeah.
And then you go to a bar or a restaurant that has these bottles that have been open for 6 fucking hours, and then they're giving literal horse shit to unwitting hipsters in Echo Park
that are then
love funky wines. Yeah. I only like stuff from the Loire because it tastes like fucking shit.
Yeah. It's like people who claim they love Coachella. No, you don't.
You don't fucking love Coachella.
Nobody loves Coachella.
You like the Instagram lines.
Yeah, you like taking your picture in front of that Ferris wheel or whatever it is. Or you're like Baychella. But like, come on. You don't.
Baychella?
Well, because it was Beyonce.
Oh, yeah. I only went to Coachella once.
Yeah.
I went instead of going to my prom.
Yeah.
My senior year.
I saw the... Do you like it?
No, I actually passed out from heat exhaustion and got taken out.
Oh, that's a good story.
So... For me, I think moving forward with natural wine, it's extremely important for everyone to have a responsibility to be promoting natural winemakers and natural wines that are stable using better practices and techniques than just a fucking crock pot. And we need to be more responsible in what we're serving consumers.
And I think there's a fear. Sorry.
No, it's fine. Go.
I think there's a fear, though, that people have where it's... They feel like they have to make a choice, like a Sophie's choice, where it's like fucked up wine.
Where it's Meryl Streep.
Yeah, it's like fucked up wine or conventional wine. Like it has to be this black
wine thing.
It's not.
It's not though. Like it's not. Like we're drinking a wine right now that is not fucked up and it's not conventional.
Yeah.
Like it's not one or the other. It's Well, I also think there's like a fetishism of like fucked up wines, and it's a backlash from the 90s and or the whole. It's just a backlash from like the big wines. But I think that if you're working in natural wine, it's extremely important in your responsibility to make sure that you're pouring wines that are as stable and awesome as possible. And like I said, we all have different tolerances to flaws. And you know, like this wine has some VA, but I'm into it. And I think that there are a lot of natural wines that should not be poured by the glass.
Yeah.
Is the issue now. Adam is someone that has a ton of restaurant experience, which I have none of, except that I was a hostess at Buca di Beppo. Favorite job of my life, still to this day. Best fucking job. What are your thoughts on that? Like, what do you do? Because you want to serve wines by the glass.
Well, sometimes you... All right, so I think there's a lot of ways to go about this, right? Obviously. But sometimes you just want to pour cool shit. And you know that it's not like, you know, you're going to open it. You're going to get it. It's going to be good for an hour.
But do you continue pouring it after you know it's gone bad?
No, as a business person, I mean, that's where you make the decision, right? You're like, do I take the loss? Do I take that L? And do I say, okay, I'm going to open it and I'm going to get 2 glasses out of it maybe.
And Big Sean, hopefully the next day, you know, you bounce back.
Yeah, you bounce back. But like you're like, am I going to get 2 solid glasses out of this? And are those 2 solid glasses important enough for me to have that people drink this wine that I'm willing to maybe not use the rest of the bottle?
But if you sold the glass, okay, like let's look at how much a glass of wine is going for at local bars, right?
Right.
You know, they're going for 14, 16.
The going rate typically is you pay for the bottle with the first glass.
Exactly. So it's
spoiler
like...
Spoiler alert for everybody out there. Typically... That's how it goes.
But so with that, you know, it's almost like then if you're going to be pouring that wine, you need to be down to take a loss because you're already breaking even if you just do 2 glasses.
Right. Anything after that first glass that you pour is profit, in theory.
So, because like, for example, there are some bars that they have like 30 natural wines by the glass.
Right.
All right. I think that's admirable, but it's not admirable when those wines are all fucked up because the bottles have all been opened and there's too many choices.
Well, I never kept a bottle overnight either, which is something that people do, but
because they're getting away with it because they're serving it to people that don't know any better.
Yeah, I and it's bad business practices, if you will. Like it's slightly anti-capitalist to throw away or give away wine at the end of the night, but. At the same time, like, don't you want your customers drinking the best possible?
Well, this particular bar that I was at, like, they mentioned to a friend, why hasn't Marissa been in lately?
Yeah.
Does Marissa not like us anymore? And it's like, no, I love you guys. It's just that I can't drink the wines there.
Well, you got to do this stuff. Do they? Like, you got to do this stuff on keg. in keg.
I know, which is, but like, I don't want the stuff on keg, man. Like, I don't want some basic ass fucking shit.
They were doing, but yes.
No, so to me, it's
but
like,
also it's so fucking expensive to go out to drink these days. Holy shit!
So fucking
shit.
Expensive. But my thing is, I think a great solution to, if you want me serving natural wines by the glass, fantastic. You should be doing that. I'm all about that. But I think instead of having 30 wines by the glass, you have 10 wines by the glass.
Yeah,
and
agree.
Then you actually go through the bottles and actually customers get to taste what the wine should taste like,
or
instead
like
of having 30 open bottles.
There is a salesmanship quality to being, it's crazy, a salesman. So like you open a bottle of wine and you know that bottle of wine is only going to last an hour, let's say, hypothetically. And somebody says, oh, do you have any wine that you recommend? Recommend that wine. Or make sure that you're pouring. This seems so novice, and this actually seems way too inside baseball. But
that's okay.
It's you have to be conscious of what you're doing, and you have to. I worked at a restaurant where someone and I released a wine list that is the most hated wine list of all time. And I'm not just saying that.
No,
like,
really, like everyone fucking hated it.
There was a whole article written about how
it was only because of the way you guys formatted it.
But it was considered the most hated. Well, the concept behind it was we wanted people to not be so concerned with the prestige. Like, we didn't want people ordering wines just because they were uncomfortable and they're like, I'll just order the thing, the only thing I recognize. We wanted people to actually order what they wanted to drink.
Yeah.
And maybe,
I thought it was
the wrong place and the wrong time to do it.
Well, why don't you just say where it was?
It was at Hatchet Hall. I mean, you can look
it
up.
Yeah. I think the reason that it was the most hated was because it was so
illegible.
Just out of, like no one knew what the fuck you guys were talking about.
It was insane.
But it was insane. But like at the same time, it got people out of the normal mindset of the wine list.
That was the idea.
Good.
But the reason why
it really probably satisfied your, before you knew it, your need for, comments and
absolutely and
oh
my god,
you know, like it was before you were making memes, you were just doing these fucking shitty wine lessons.
We're always like, yes, hate
yes
me.
Just
hey,
jerking
power.
Off just jerking off over like your like illegible wine list. It's like, oh, there's hashtags on here. People are gonna be so mad.
Yeah, they're gonna hate me.
Oh, I just came.
And I put pictures of Kanye with quotes of Kanye on there, and people, I had a woman yell at me about it. She said, why the fuck is he on the wine list?
She used that language.
Yeah, oh yeah, she was French, so it sounded classier. And what? She told me to put a real artist on the wine list, like
JR. You were like, oh, like my son, Cy
this was
West?
This was significantly before he was born. But
just a twinkle
what we
in
liked
the
about
eye.
It is it allowed us to pour things. So like if we opened a bottle, we had so much power and control over who was drinking it and where it was going. As opposed to just anyone who's worked in restaurants knows, you have like the three things that people order constantly and constantly and constantly, and you have the stuff that you wish people ordered and they never did. This, we didn't have that problem. We could pour people any, we could pour one whole night a double magnum because we wanted to, because we wanted people to drink it, so they drank
but
it.
But also too, the wine list was not 30 wines by the glass.
No,
it wasn't. Was much smaller.
We did,
like
it was
like
five
of each. Yeah. You know, it was like, you know, you. I remember you guys had like a couple sparkling, like five reds, five whites, like a couple rosé options and like some skin contact options.
Yeah.
But it wasn't 30 wines by the glass that you were never going to pour in a night.
Yeah.
You're never going to pour through all that in a night. Like 30 wines by the glass plus like if you have wines on keg and you also have beer, like you're never going to go through all those wines.
Why doesn't anyone play to a place where they just do like one white, like a, can you imagine a wine bar that was like one white, one red?
It would fail.
Because people want options?
Yeah, I want options. I wouldn't go there.
What if it like changed all the time?
But that's like Apero at Stella. You know, like they do like a, they have a couple, they have like three wines that they choose every day for Apero.
I love that.
I love it too. But sometimes I'm like, I wish I didn't have to have any of these.
So I'll have a scotch.
Yeah. So I'm like, so.
In that case,
where's the Lochtavine? Yeah. Where's that allocated shit? Like, I'm just going to just buy straight off the dinner menu. Thank you, Emma.
But do you think as someone who is in media and like around and like, are you've obviously not only been a
part
of.
I've obviously been around.
You've also, you've not only been a part of, but you're witnessing and in the middle of the growth of natural wine. Like, as natural wine continues to, like, I feel like every day I see more and more people where it's like, what is natural wine? Or it's like people just trying to market it. And like, I see people like really poorly trying to use natural wine as like a marketing tactic. So do you like, where is its trajectory? Where, I mean, it is a big question right now. People, I hear some people say it's not scalable. It's not a scalable product. It's not something that can truly grow.
I actually think that that's a fallacy in a way, because I think that if, while of course, like the producers, and this is like, I think this is another topic, but it's fine. It's our first podcast. We're just going for it.
Yeah, we're like an hour in. I think we can do another half hour.
I think we just keep talking until we feel good.
Okay.
I mean, until you have to leave or your computer dies.
Oh, yeah, we have until my computer dies.
Great.
Which means I have to save it. I'm going to...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So for the finish...
Yeah.
How do we feel about natural wines by the glass?
I love... I mean, I... But you and I differ. The place where you and I differ is... I'm a monster who will drink the most fucked up shit.
I think that's a lie. I think that you are lying about yourself and me right now, because we will drink flawed wines that are fucking out there and crazy, but are still very well made. We literally didn't drink a bottle of wine that we opened.
Yeah.
So to say that you drink anything is a lie.
That's true. That's true.
That's not where we differ. It's that we're willing to drink anything that has quality despite its flaws, which is great. But the only reason that we can do that...
How do we get people to that point?
It's education.
Yeah, it's education.
Because I can drink something super fucked up and be like, I know this is super flawed and I still enjoy it.
So I know you did a whole thing on like orange wine or skin contact wine and that whole thing. And I've heard people use skin contact or really orange wine, not skin contact, as a misnomer for all natural wine.
Yeah.
So they don't understand that orange wine doesn't, like, they automatically assume that category is what all natural wines fall under,
yeah,
which is just bad education. And I think that maybe the faults fall under that sort of same thing.
Absolutely.
Which it's bad education.
It is.
But well, is it bad education?
No, it's not bad education. The education has never been available to the public.
But that's the education of the people who are pouring the wines.
It's the education
God,
of...
I sound like a pro som.
But that's why this is important.
It is true. It is true.
No, it's not only on the professional. It's not only on the professional side, but on the consumer side, we have to let education be open. By the way, if you want to check out the basic guide to flaws on bonappetit.com, you can just Google it. I wrote it for you already. Fran Drescher wrote it for you.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I've never watched that show. I always thought Fran Drescher was super hot, though.
Really?
Yeah, in a weird way.
I think she's super hot now. Like, looking back, I'm like,
yeah, she was banging.
Yeah, she was banging. So, with the finish here, coming in with the hot finish, I think that natural wines by the glass are extremely important. And
what the takeaway is. Sorry to interrupt. God, fuck, I'm learning how to not interrupt. I apologize. Go.
It's fine. This is our first one.
Yeah.
I think the finish here is that natural wines by the glass are extremely important. They are extremely important because they introduce people to more wines than they may have otherwise, you know, and it allows people to explore a lot of options. But the proprietors and the staff and the consumers all need to, well, the proprietors and the staff need to feel a sense of responsibility on what they're serving. And I think that the consumers need to be educated, and like, that's our job. That's my job.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's my job. And I hope to,
I think my job is to make people feel bad. But
yeah,
I think what the takeaway is that if you are a consumer, if you're listening to this podcast and you're a consumer and you get served a glass of wine and you are unsure of that glass of wine, don't be afraid to speak up.
Yeah, no, dude, trust yourself. Like if something like I said, like my friend that was like, this tastes bad to me. Am I crazy? It's like, no, dude, it tastes bad to you because it's fucking bad.
Yeah, I think ultimately that's what needs to happen is consumer confidence. You need to be trust your
palate.
Yeah, as actually, that's, I think Sandy Garber, that's like the Garber slogan is trust your palate. But should we do a...
So I guess we should do a sign-off of some sort.
Should we... goodbye.
Goodbye.
This is the hardest part of a podcast. Have you ever listened to a podcast? It's like the hardest thing that they do. It's the most challenging part of a podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. well, bye. I guess that way I...